It was hard getting information in or out of Stebbins for days after the storm. Both GCI and Telalaska services were down from damaged equipment, and according to Mayor Morris Neshonek, there were no planes landing in Stebbins for the first 3 or 4 days after the storm. Frustrated and concerned over the situation in Stebbins, Kowarik organized a trip to bring in personnel in order to assess damages and consult with residents on ways of offering assistance. Anna Neshonek works as the tribal family coordinator for Kowarik and lives in Stebbins. She says that since homes were flooded, they've also become frozen. Her concern is getting people warm.
The first thing that I'm concerned about is the heating of homes that were damaged. How are we going to get monitors or wood stoves out here to Stebbins to thaw out the homes that were damaged?
The community also needs electricians and carpenters to ensure installations and wiring are safe. And while the state will eventually be able to provide new heating units, in the meantime, many families who lost their possessions during the storm are without cold weather gear.
I've made it a priority for the families who lost everything in their homes that they come up and get the first choice of the things they need. So they've gotten everything they needed except they're requesting boots and snow pants, warm gear. The main request is blankets, warm blankets.
The freeze is making many aspects of the cleanup effort more difficult. Several large containers used to collect sewage from household honey buckets were toppled or carried away. Frozen and covered with snow, that raw sewage could become hazardous when the ground thaws in the spring. It was an exceptionally strong storm surge that slammed into Stebbins last week. Part of the reason it wreaked such havoc was the paucity of adequate storm mitigation infrastructure. While some towns in the region, like Unalakleet, have been building storm and erosion barriers since the 90s, Stebbins' only defense is a decades-old seawall built from 55-gallon drums and earth. And most of it has been chipped away to almost nothing. Anna Neshonek says she was stranded during the storm when the lone evacuation route to higher ground was flooded.
I was stuck down here for a couple of hours, and while I was stuck, I was thinking about why do we have only one road to evacuate?
According to speakers and community officials at Tuesday's meeting, Stebbins was saved by how completely residents came together to help one another. Speaking on the plane back to Nome after talking with residents, Senator Donnie Olson was impressed with how much care people showed for one another during the disaster. Now, he says, it's the state's turn.
So that's what I saw was very encouraging, how cooperative they worked together and how much they pulled together in this situation. And now we as a state need to go ahead and see what we can do to step up to the plate to make sure that those that are now homeless, have lost their homes, have got some place to go ahead in the winter, because it's awfully cold with this wind that's here. They need some place to go ahead and work a shelter over their themselves, so that they got a place to stay for the winter.
Senator Olson was the first public official to visit Stebbins since last week's devastating storm. Governor Sean Parnell, after his stop in Kotlik last week, was brought on a 30-second flyover to see the damage in Stebbins from above, but did not land. Reporting from Nome, I'm Zachariah Hughes.